You're very welcome to Liberty Church this morning. I'm getting a bit freaked out in this church because every time I get up to speak, the youth all go out. What's the story? What? There's no one answering. Liam, what's the story? She's a redner. Amen. Father, thank you for that story and your goodness, Lord God, just shines through, Father, that you're a great Father and you're a constant companion. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's so encouraging, isn't it, to hear what God does in people's lives. You know what it says to everyone? There's hope. It says your situation doesn't have to stay the same. It says, look, my biggest advice is just stick close to Jesus and he gets you through it. You look and you try analysing, you don't know how he does it, but he does it. He's great at doing what we can't fully comprehend. He's great at getting us to places where, even not just the places like we think we need to be, but he's far greater than that. He sees further, he sees broader, he sees longer than any of us can imagine or think. And so stick with him. He'll get you where you need to be. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a series called Illuminate. And this is the last one in the series. And it's been a great series. I've really enjoyed delivering stuff. I enjoyed listening to other people, bringing some of the Illuminate series to us. And next week, we have a great service on next week. Well, what's looking like a great service, we have a young man going to preach to us called Dino from South Africa. Also, we have Honouring Sunday. And it's very important next week in regards to Honouring Sunday. Who we're going to honour? We're going to honour the local community guards. So there's going to be two guards that come. Don't panic. It's not about warrants or anything like that. It's a community exercise. It's a way of us honouring the guards. It's a way of us of breaking down barriers in our community. It's a way of us saying, not only do we respect you, and not only as Christians will we respect you, but we will teach our children to respect authority. That is huge barriers being broken down. You just go up to the flats and or anywhere in this community and you ask a young person what they think of the guards, it's not good. The Bible says that the true sons of God are peacemakers. We get a chance to be peacemakers next week. We're going to pray for them. We're going to welcome them. We're going to love them. We're going to send them down to Sunday school. They're going to talk to our kids down there. And then they're going to make a date and they're going to go up there with the other young people to put a face on the badge. And during next week, I invite you all to come. I invite Lifeline to come. I invite Teen Challenge to come. And one of the things that we want to do, I want to blow their heads. I want to blow their minds. I want them to go back to the police station saying, you know what? That was like living in a different planet. It's like there was people from another kingdom there. It was like people that were aliens to what they're used to. There was a story that Rob seen on TV about a man called Danny. And Danny was, it was on this program called Coppers, about two community guards in England. And Danny was the guy that, like, he was always getting aspos and he was always breaking them and getting, he'd get drunk and go into the city centre. They'd spot him on CCTV and then they'd send in a van. They'd take Danny in because he was going to be fighting with someone or hurting someone and they'd throw him in for 30 days. He'd break it, he'd get out, break it again, and this continual cycle in this guy's life. And Rob said that, Rob was telling me this story and he says, no, what you could see in the police in the situation that either they said or they communicated in some way that this, like, this guy is coming in, doing this, getting out, coming in, doing this, you know, like the cycle. And it was like they were nearly saying there's no hope for this Danny, no hope. And myself and Rob was going down to sit with the police the next night that was on. And Rob was telling me it on the way down to sit with the local community police, and we started telling them this story. And I said, Gareth, I want to tell you something. Because Rob told a story. That there's a couple of hundred Dannys in our church. And I want you, when you come, to know that there's hope for every Danny that's out there. That when you see a Danny in the street, when you see him lying in a gutter, when you see a Danielle, like throwing herself, abusing herself in this city, I want you to know that there's hope for that person. So next week, what I want us to do is, when the guards come, Bat and Paulina, there's going to be a part in it when we're under them where I'm going to tell that story again. And I'm going to say, guards, there's loads of bats. Oh, that is your man's name. Guard, there's loads of Danny's and Danielle's in this place. And we want to make a statement to you today. And we put up on the screen, we're going to make this statement. Because we're serving God, you will not have to deal with me or my family or my children. And I want us all to stand up and declare that to these guys. That you won't be. And in fact, we're not going to be just Danny's that get our life together. We're going to be Danny's that bless the city. We're going to be Danielle's that make a difference. We're going to be Danny's and Danielle's that reaches out to other Danny's and Danielle's to make a difference. So come next week, bring someone along. Phil, if you're able to make it, please be here. And we just make this declaration, not only to the guards, to our community and to the city and to the heavens. To the heavens. The heavens that is full of good, but there's also an evil aspect. To the heavens, to the heavenly places where we're saying we're rescuers just like our God is a rescuer. Yeah? So be here or be square. Amen? And here we, and then we have Dino speak next week, and I'm looking forward. So what did we look at during the Illuminate series? We looked at who Jesus is. We looked at why Jesus died. We looked at why and how we should pray. We looked at why and how we should read our Bible. We looked at how does God guide us. Who is the Holy Spirit? How can I resist evil? Why and how should I tell others? And what about the church? So in light of all these incredible truths, that's enough information that was given to us over these 7 or 8 weeks. That is dangerous information for anyone to have. There's incredible truths, there's incredible information and revelation in these last couple of weeks. And in light of all of that, what should we do with what we have? What should we be expecting out of what we have received? What should be the outcome of knowing these truths? There should be incredible things like that you know Jesus more, that you trust him more, that you know who the Holy Spirit is. You have an insight into how he leads us and how he guides us. That you know the power of God, that you know you're not an orphan anymore, that you've been taken out of the orphanage. See, our original mom and dad, Adam and Eve, put us in the orphanage. And we were left with a cruel father, the father of lies. But Jesus came. The Bible actually says that Jesus said this, he says, I am the door. Why is he the door? He's the door out of the orphanage. And Jesus also said, in my father's house there's many mansions. So he takes us, we're in the orphanage as non-Christians, because we're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We've all sinned. We've all took on their nature. And then Jesus comes, I am the door. If you want to get out of the orphanage, you walk through the door, which is Jesus, because he's the only way. He's the only door. There's no other door that leads you to the Father's mansions. Only through him. And then when you come through him, you come into a whole new world. Well, you can come into his world with the orphan thinking. You can be a Christian and still think like an orphan. And God wants to revolutionize us. I challenged this week, I was thinking like an orphan. And when you have this information, the Holy Spirit uses it. No, you're being an orphan. You're thinking like you belonged in another place. With this information that we have, we should know God more, know who we are. Know what he wants us to do, how he leads us. Know his power, know our inheritance as children of God. It's enough information to change your world. It's certainly enough information to change your life. But that life that's changed explodes all over the world. It at least explodes somewhere within in your immediate vicinity of family. That they see there's something wrong with honey. That they see there's something wrong with my husband. That there's some change that should be a result of what you've heard the last couple of weeks. If there's not, just go before the Lord again. Go from the Lord, what's not connecting here? And he'll show you because he loves you. Yeah? So what should we do in light of this information? Here's a scripture for you. Paul says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What's God's will? It's good. It's pleasing, and it's perfect. Listen to the way the message says it. So here's what I want you to do. The same passage, different take. So here's what I want you to do. With God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Doesn't that break it down? Take your everyday life, your ordinary sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, saying, God, I give her over to you. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. What can I do for you, Lord? Embracing what he's already done for you. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in even without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed. When you do this, you will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to a level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you. He develops a well-formed maturity in you. So what should we do? We should lay our lives down before God. Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world anymore. We need to break the pattern with the past. We need to let go of our past forming us and shaping us in how we should look at things or go about into the future. What is the pattern of this world? It's amazing as a preacher. Like, I have about 20 translations in my head of scriptures. And someone says something, like Peter said something like about love earlier on. And 1 Corinthians 13 came to my mind, which I haven't got in my notes. What is the pattern of this world? Well, the pattern of this world is like the opposite of 1 Corinthians 13. It's not patient. And it's not a kind world. And it does keep records of wrongs. And it does hold sins against other people. And as the message says, it does strut its stuff. And as the message says, that it has a big head. And it is full of arrogance. And it is full of self-sufficiency. So if you want to know, are we walking according to the pattern of this world, just look at the opposite of what 1 Corinthians is. But if you want to know, that are we walking according to the pattern of God, we look at 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. Love always believes in the truth, always thinks the best of others. Man, that's a mirror and a half, and you're like, ugh. But we don't have to conform to that way of living anymore. We have no obligation to that way of living anymore. We not only have no obligation, but we have a power to live according to another pattern, which is the one that Jesus laid out for us. And he gives us the power to actually live out that way. That we don't only have to not live according to the pattern of this world, but we have to take up a new pattern. That's why Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. But let your mind be renewed in the new pattern that God has for each one of us. Let the pattern of the Lord transform us from the inside out. Don't fall into the trick of being putting on a smiley face and you're dying on the inside, or living according to a set of rules on the outside, but yet you're black on the inside or something. Don't fall into that. Never settle for just a conformity to a set of rules or a standard that people just set for you. You live your life conformed into the image of Jesus. And then there's no games that we have to play. We don't have to let no more the Christian. We don't have to, or if I just act and yet on the inside we're dying, because the Bible says that we can be transformed from the inside out. And believe me, when it's inside out job, everyone sees that anyway. So we don't have to fall into just being conformed into the image of a rule book. or a set of rules that a man or woman would lay down, but that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that sometimes has a negative connotation. I think we miss it. That's like, oh, I just changed my old pattern, like the negative with the positive. I think it's much bigger and broader and deeper and wider than that. That the renewing of the mind is getting a hold of what God has for us. It's flooding our lives with the truths of God that challenges the lies that we've lived by in the orphanage. It's renewing your mind is getting to know His voice, getting to know what His word says, so that it filters its way right into the everyday of our lives. And there's a huge difference between the word of God and the voice of God. And a lot of people, we tend sometimes to just settle for the word of God, which is hugely important, don't get me wrong. But the word of God tells us what God has said. The voice of God tells us what God is saying. Do you get me? Like, it's like, how can I say this, Dad? That we know that God has said something about certain lifestyles. But how we apply what God has already said takes hearing the voice of God and getting the wisdom of God in the voice to actually bring the application to a people, to a community, to a church, to an individual. Like, for instance, hands up who's a Christian in the last 5 years. 7 years. You just don't know how blessed you really are, right? But Peter would probably remember this, and Peter, I don't know whether you would have been around any church, that the Bible says that women should wear a head covering. So, at a certain time, or in certain places even still, ladies, you would not be allowed in the church unless you took a hat, a scarf, a balaclava, a helmet, an antilla. You wouldn't be allowed in the doors. Why? Because the Bible says that. And where it says that was in a specific time, in a specific place. It was specific instructions for a time and a place. Now, many people have taken that into this time and this place. So they used the word of what God said, but they didn't apply wisdom to what God is saying in the now culture, in a different situation. And we can use that against ourselves. Well, the Bible says, which it does say, if your hand offends you, cut it off. So, if you're going to apply one part of the scripture to yourself, well, you have to apply the rest of it. But wisdom says, no, don't cut your hand off. How could you hold a microphone? Headset. If your eye offends you, pluck it out so you wouldn't be able to find your headset. The word of God is what God has said, and it's proper, and that's what you feel. This is how you know what God wants. But how you apply that, it's not always black and white. It takes hearing the voice of God and applying wisdom to the word of God. And that's how you renew your mind. That's how you renew. It's not just hearing what God has said, but what God is saying now. Because when God says something, it's jam-packed with wisdom. Being transformed is not just about replacing the negative things, but it's finding what God wants for you in your life, with your future, with the plans that He has for you in the everyday things. Knowing the way He views things. The voice of God is also knowing what God wants to do in a particular situation. In the particular way that he wants to do it. In a particular time frame He wants to do it. When you read the Bible just as the Word of God, it doesn't always give you that, does it? Renewing the mind is a living thing. It's an everyday thing. It's a situation-to-situation thing. But it takes us going and applying what God has already says. Like, for instance, God already says, if anybody lacks wisdom, they should ask God who gives double portions. Without finding fault. He doesn't look for a reason not to give us wisdom. He doesn't go, I can't give you, sorry, I found fault in you. He doesn't look for faults to not give us something. So, in an everyday situation, we turn to God, Lord, give us wisdom in this. I accept the wisdom of God for this situation. And that is releasing the voice of God into our lives, into the now situation, into the now circumstance, into the now question, rather than having to go back and say, what did God say about that? Well, He may have said that about this situation in a specific circumstance, but what is he saying to you? And how will we know what God has already said? By reading his book. How can we judge what God is saying now? By reading his book. How can we test whether it's God's will and purpose? By reading his book and knowing what he's already said. So read your Bible, you big jabroni. How do we not conform anymore? The Bible says, present your bodies. Your everyday living, sleeping, breathing, going to work life and make it an offering to God. By an action, a conscious act of will, present our ears, our eyes, our mouths, our hands, our relationships, our sexuality, our time, our ambitions, our finances. Present them to God as a living sacrifice. They're yours, God. I'm giving them to you. You can have a say in absolutely everything. I will watch what I listen to, what I look at, how I give, how I act, how I conduct myself. I will live that out as an act of worship to God. I will live it out as something that is a sacrifice to God. And when you read or hear anyone talk about sacrifice to God, I want to tell you that it might look like a sacrifice at the beginning, but in the end, it's not a sacrifice. Because what you get in return of God for your sacrifice far outweighs anything you could present before him. Absolutely anything. You God, it works like this. You give this and I give you back in abundance. And that goes across the board. That goes across anything that you, Lord, I'm giving you my time. And somehow your life is jam-packed with all types of other things. I present all my things to you as a sacrifice. The Bible, everywhere in the Bible there was a sacrifice. Fire fell. Boom. Look at the Old Testament. Look at the cross. Sacrifice. Then there was Pentecost. Fire. Everywhere. You present yourself before God and he sends the fire. Fire to consume. Fire to empower. Fire to release. Fire to set us on fire. It may involve sacrificing something small now that seems small or seems big, but in the end is small. Joyce Meyer says, you cannot be happy if at the center of your world is you. It's impossible to be happy in this life if the center of the world is you. We're living a life as sacrifice. You know what you end up doing? Thinking of others. And as you're giving your life away, you're really finding your life. Jesus says, if you want to find your life, lose it. And if you want to have just an ordinary life, well, then you be the center of that life. He says, lose your life and you'll find it. Basically, he was saying, get lost. The whole lot of you. Lose your life. Give your life away. You want healing? Give your life away. You want freedom from bitterness? Give your life away. Do something. Serve somewhere. Think of other people. Because as long as you are the center of your world, it's all about you. And I'm including me into you. When I focus in on me, I'm like, oh, I want my needs met. I want this, I want this, I want this. I'm the most unhappiest person in the world. That's why the Bible says it's better to give than receive. He knows what he's talking about. It may involve giving up something else. It may involve going somewhere else. But I want to tell you, you find it. You find your life. You find happiness. You find contentment. You find peace. I don't even have to tell you. I just know your face. I know what humans are like. Just focus on yourself. And I'm telling you, you're a miserable person. If you could get away from yourself, you would. Am I right? So stop hanging on to yourself. Stop looking at just your problems, your failures, your negativity. Stop focusing on it. Because you can't change it anyway. And his promise is that when you give your life to him and lay it down as an offering and serve others, you will find it. Because as long as we are like this, he can't get at it. No, it's my pain. It's my hurt. It's my bitterness. Precious. We take her out at night. I hate him. We stroke it.
It's my depression. And you're not getting it. Well, then keep it. And stay miserable. And look out the orphanage window at everyone else running free. Where he promises if you give it, he says you will live according to his pattern. So it may take what seems to be sacrifice. That when you lay your life as a sacrifice, maybe he'll send you to China. Maybe he'll send you to Moneygall. Donegal. No, Moneygall's a place. He might send you to Iraq. He might send you to the homeless man the next door or down the street or your next door neighbor. He may put something deep in your heart. There was an incredible missionary called Hudson Taylor. Read his story. Just Google it and it'll come up on Wikipedia and you'll get the short version. Well, listen, he was so into living his life as a sacrifice before God. He touched China with the gospel. And listen to what he said. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give every one of them to China. He had been so touched by God about giving his life away. He says, if I had 1,000 lifetimes, I'd give every single one of them to China. That's a life worth living. It may involve challenge. Laying your life down may involve challenge. Listen to what John Ortberg said. He says, is there any challenge in your life right now that is large enough that you have no hope of doing it apart from God's help? Is there any challenge in your life right now that without God it just is not going to happen? If not, consider the possibility that you are seriously under-challenged. If there's not something that we're living for that is so much bigger than who we are as individuals, that without God's help it's not going to happen, we're seriously under-challenged. But if you're in a position where, you know what, without God it's not going to happen, you're in a good place. In fact, you're in a great place. In fact, you're in a fantastic place. In fact, you're going to have a story to tell about his grace. You're going to have a story to tell about how fantastic God has been in your life. You're going to go, look, without God, that's doomed. And then all of a sudden, you have a story to tell about God. Why should we lay down our life? Because the Lord has a plan in the future for each one of us. He has a plan for us collectively. He has a plan that we do something as the church of God. And that outside of that plan, if your individual plan is not in line with his big plan, have a guess who has to change. But why should we lay down our lives? Because he has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan. Why should we renew our minds? Because we get to know what that plan is. Why should we not conform to the old pattern anymore? Because we want to know what that plan is. Who knows where God will have you? We must live our lives as Jesus did. And Jesus lived his life living in response to his Father. He lived his life living in response to his Father. Why? Because there was a plan and there was a hope and there was a future. The dreams of God are always dangerous. The dreams of God bring changes into our lives. The dreams of God and the plans in the future. It's not just some anemic little plans. Like, you know, we go, oh, God has a plan for my life. That's great. Believe me, that could cause you to give up your job tomorrow and go somewhere for God. That could mean you being stretched to see someone sick and you go and pray for them. You go and heal them. There's someone asks you that is in a wheelchair. I was listening to a guy this morning and he says, Lord, I'm going to really step out for you. And he stepped out for him. And the title of his sermon was, it's my time, my turn. And so many people think it's my time and it is their time. But you also have a chance where you have to take your turn. So when you go to the dentist and you have an appointment, it's your time. But until they call you in, then it's your turn. There's a difference, yeah? And a lot of us are living in our time. This is our time. This is the time. This is what God is doing now. And then he goes, now it's your turn. So you go. So he goes to a place and he goes, it's my turn. It's my turn. It's my turn. And it was his first time preaching. He says, anyone sick, I want you to come up. And all the people came up. And he closed his eyes and the first man, he says, what's wrong with you, sir? Because he'd watched someone on the God Channel. And he says, he says, I have a bad back. So he says, Father, heal him. And he goes, now bend down and touch our toes. And your man bent down, he couldn't get up. And he says, what's wrong with you? It's true. What's wrong with you? I can't get up. So he ended up having to, your man's wife had to come up and get him, and he walked back like that. But God may ask you to step out. He said, anyone else? The next person was a blind man. He sent him back blind. But you know, a couple of weeks later, he went to another place because he had 4 shots at this. That's all his pastor gave him. He said, if it's in you, you'll preach. The man comes up in the wheelchair. He says, Jesus is going to heal you today. The man says, is he? That's going to be some miracle. He says, why? And he took off the blanket. And he had no legs. He said, it was getting worse. But it was his turn. It's not only our time, it's our turn. And God will speak to you because he has a plan for your life. And he go, now look, it is your time, because we're living in the time that God has for us and our church. But now we may say, step up, it's your turn. And if you're not, if you're living according to the orphanage pattern, you won't. Now that turn might be the most simplest task of bringing your 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus. Or it could be the most incredible and seeing 2 legs put back on a bloke. Or someone raised from the dead. Someone said, do we see people raised from the dead? This young girl over here, Linda. 4 years ago, she was on a night in the ICU, dying. She was in a coma. They pulled the plug. They were going to pull the plug and let her just slip away. Her mom asked Jay Rafferty to ask me to go up and pray. I don't know the family. I don't even know whether they really asked. I think Jay just bottled it. No one guessed. But we went up to the hospital. I went up because Jason asked me. Jason knew the family. And I remember going in. There was 6 people in the room. And Linda was one of them. And she's over there, you know, all up on the machine, all the things coming over. Her family says she's going to die unless God does a miracle. They were going to take the plug out later on. They were organizing a funeral. I remember one thing about the day. I wasn't intimidated by the machines. There were 6 people dying. And you know why? I can only explain why. It's because at that moment I wasn't living according to the pattern of this world. Because this world says you are gone, Linda. There she's there. She'll tell her story downstairs or whatever. This world's pattern said, no hope. Pull the plug, boom. And not that we were these great men of faith going in. But I remember that day that we weren't living according to the pattern of this world. I remember looking around. We went over and we prayed for Linda. And in fact, we were that not intimidated that I looked around. I looked at all the others and I said, Father, raise every one of them up this day. 4 years later, I didn't know the result. But 6 weeks ago, Linda walks into our link group with Adele. Adele says, do you know this girl? I don't know you. How are you? It's good to meet you. She says, I'm the girl that was 4 years ago supposed to die. And God raised me up. God raised me up. You don't know. You just do not know. You go, oh no, you're great. No. You're great. And you're great. And you're great. That the same God that lives in Jesus lives in all, and the same Spirit that lives and raised Jesus from the dead lives in every one of us. Now you might say, I'd love an opportunity to do that, Lord. I'd love an opportunity to shake hands with someone, give them something, go somewhere with somebody. Your time will come. Your time will come. Your time has come, but your turn is on the way. Now will you take it? Will you just make a commitment? We're finished. Will you just make a commitment? Why should we do all this? Why should we lay our lives down? Why should we commit ourselves to God? Why should we let ourselves be renewed? Why should we not operate according to the old nature and the old plan? Because God has a plan. And God has had mercy on us. And God has called us into his family. In view of God's mercy, in view of God's cross, in view of the resurrection, in view of pouring out the Holy Spirit, let's give our lives and live our lives as a given, as an offering to God. The people around us need what we are in God. The church is obsessed right now. When I say church, I'm saying worldwide. There's an obsession about the second coming of Jesus. There's people that haven't even heard the first coming of Jesus. The church is obsessed. You know why that is? Because the church is only looking after itself. That's why we come obsessed. Oh, Jesus is coming back to get me. And there's people that they walk with, do life with every day have not even heard why he came in the first place. And I'm looking for the second coming. I'm looking forward to Jesus cutting open the eastern sky and coming back. I'm looking forward to what Thessalonians calls the great rapture, being caught up in the air. I'm looking forward to all of that. But I don't want to go and somehow I know in the Lord's face. There's no one bothering telling them why I came to die on the cross. And it's our time, but we can take that turn every day. And I'm not saying be a fruitcake of a Christian. Don't be a fruitcake and say your name is in liberty. I'll kill you. But look for your turn. Look for who's with you. Look what God opens up. Look who God brings beside you. Look at when people tell their story to you. Why are they telling you? They're saying, you big idiot, will you tell me the answer? Yeah. 2 weeks ago in a car park in Newbridge, we're just going in to get a present for Becky. And there was a woman, Sister Sharon, Carol and myself, will you help me get out of my car? We get out, she goes, my wheelchair's in the back. So Carol's told her, I get the wheelchair out. Sharon comes back over. We get the girl out, 42 years of age, had a foot infection. They've done something in her spinal cord. There's nothing wrong with her legs, but our brain, when our brain says move, it won't move because it gets disconnected somewhere where the foot was. So why am I on my knees putting the woman's leg into her wheelchair? And she was like, it's all right, it doesn't hurt me, I can't feel anything. And I'm like looking at her. It was my time. But would I take my turn? Because everything was saying, I wasn't intimidated by the machines, but I was intimidated by the wheelchair. I was intimidated by her story. And it was like she was looking at me. She didn't know anything about us. We were just three strangers walking by. She didn't know one thing about us. But every time I looked at her face, she was like, will you pray for me? She wasn't saying it, but I could hear it. You're the one with the hope. You're the one with the message. You're the one with the gospel. You're the one with Jesus living in you. Please at least have an attempt. Why? Because this is living according not to the pattern of this world. So at least the challenge was there. I says, Miss, I can't leave you without praying for you. I'm a minister. I'm a Christian. I believe God answers my prayer. Can I pray for you? Do you know what she said? Will you go away, you big dope? Will you go away, you stupid idiot, believing in all that stuff? No, she didn't. No, she says, thank you very much. Now, when we prayed for her, she goes, you know, that's the best thing and the nicest thing anyone could have done for me. Did she jump up and do the river dance? No. The least she felt that we loved her. But the Bible says that love isn't the least. The Bible says that love is the greatest. So the greatest she felt wasn't probably getting healed, but the greatest she felt that someone loved and cared for her. And the representatives of God says, yeah, we pray. Let us pray. Take your turn. Father, here we are. Here we are, Lord. We are just so blessed to be your people. Lord, in view of your mercy and in view of your cross and the resurrection, I don't know about anyone else, but for me, Lord, I can't help but willingly lay down my life again and say, Lord, I'm yours. I cannot help, Lord, knowing I'm 23 years Christian. Just the other day, we were 23 years. And in view of all that you've done, Lord, and all that you have given, I can't help but say, Lord, that the next I want to live till I'm 90, so the next 45 years, Lord, is yours. If you keep me on this earth, Lord, I'm saying I will consistently present my body, my life, as a living sacrifice. That would be my act of worship to you, Lord. And Father, I pray for so many of us that I can only pray that prayer for myself. Well, maybe you've never come. Just hold the kids for a moment, guys. But maybe you've never, this is your first time. You're very welcome. Maybe you've never, ever, Tuesday the 22nd of March, 1989, I gave my life to God. I was 22 years of age. And like Anne said, a simple prayer, but with a heart that was right behind that prayer. God came in and God transformed my life. And I'm thankfully that he's using me to transform other people's lives. But it began with one decision. One decision. Lord, here I am. Now, I've made that decision. I try to make it every single day of my life. Lord, I'm yours today. Lord, but that one off when my sins were forgiven, he came into my life, filled me with the Holy Spirit, was a one off decision. And I don't know who's here, and I don't know whether you've ever made that decision. But today I want to give you an opportunity. Close your eyes. Give everyone privacy. And you've never asked God to be your Savior. You never asked Jesus and thanked him for paying the price for your sins. This is your day. How was it done? Well, how I done it was, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross. Father, forgive my sins and come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. It was simple. And if you've never done that and you want to do that today, well, everyone's eyes is closed. That's just for privacy. Would you just put your hand up and say, no, I want to give my life to God today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I knew you were going to give your life to Jesus today. Thank you. If you've never done it before, just for this once, if you've never done it before, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to present myself before God and say, God, use me. So let's say this prayer together. There's some people that have said this for the first time. I will say it for the first time. Dear Lord Jesus, say it all together. Thank you for going to the cross for my sin. I accept that you paid my price. And I say thank you. Cleanse me from all of my sin and its effects, and come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can live for you. Father, I give my life to you. Amen. Lastly, I'm sorry we're running over, but lastly, the problem with living sacrifices is this. They slip off the altar. Living like a sacrifice that is a free will offering to God. But times we get off the altar and we run our own way again. And if you've just slipped off the altar, if you've for whatever reason, we can get off the altar for a myriad of reasons. We justify it by things that may have been done or said. We justify it by, I'm not getting my own way. Or God's not answering the prayer the way I think it, and then we slip off and we go back to the orphanage. And you make a prayer dedication before God right now. Say, God, here I am. Use me. This is my time. This is my time. You have a plan for my life. You have a purpose for me being here. You have a purpose for me being on this earth. I'm not going to center my world around me. In fact, Lord, I'm going to center my world around you. I'm not going to consistently look in at me and this is me and my far and no more. I'm going to just look at my negative life. I'm just going to sit in and just do a precious thing on all of this. Lord, no wonder the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because it's the direct opposite of fixing our eyes on herself. So, Lord, I'm not going to look at myself. I'm not going to try to hear myself. I'm not trying to get it all together. I'm not going to try to line it all up, Lord. I'm looking to you. And I know what your word says because I'm a reader. And I say, Father, would you circumcise our ears
So we hear you and you only. And Father, what you say, we will do. And we will know it's you because we know the book. So Father, I release your people. I release them in the name of Jesus to hear God, to follow God, and to be on fire for the living God.